Well, hey, we are talking about rhythms this week. Talk about the last couple weeks, and I love how Brian started off talking about how rhythms aren't just something that naturally occurs, although we see that, but any life that wants to be incredibly fruitful is rooted in rhythms. And the illustration that really stuck out with me was that idea of a punch, and that if you want to be a life that's of fruitfulness, about getting things done, you can't constantly be in punching mode. You've got to come back to a place of rest. It's about embracing those extremes in life, going a rhythm of rest, work. And he talked about whether or not you believe Jesus is the Son of God. It's hard to question whether Jesus' life was fruitful. I mean, I wish time was named after me. That would be amazing. But again, Jesus had a fruitful life, and he was a guy that embraced rhythms. He was constantly getting things done, but he's constantly pulling away. You see that. There's something for us to dig through that. And then Chuck last week talked about something that's called the gift of the Sabbath. And, you know, I grew up believing the Sabbath was only happening if you locked yourself in a room and you were reading your Bible and praying. And this idea that while those things are great, the Sabbath is actually this experiential thing, this time where we can experience God. Sometimes we can taste God's goodness. Man, if that's the Sabbath, sign me up. And I want to share this verse in Exodus that I think really speaks to that. It's Exodus 23:12. It says, 6 days do your work, but on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. I don't know if you have oxes and donkeys at your house. I got a lot of friends that do in Kentucky. That's how we roll. But anyways, I'm totally just kidding. It's a lot easier to make those jokes being up here. You don't even want to know how we joke about you guys. But anyhow, that's good. No, I kid you. But this does not say take that Sabbath day so that you can sustain, so that you have just enough. No, it says take that Sabbath day and practice it so that you can be refreshed. Man, who doesn't want to be refreshed? That's what God wants for you, to refresh you. And so today, we're going to hear from some different people in our community. We've done this usually once a year the last couple years, where we've been talking the what and the why of resting. We're actually going to be hearing about rhythms, but we're going to be hearing from people that are actually doing the how in rhythms. And so these seven people after me are going to share their stories, and our hope is that there's something that you connect with. And in the verse of Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." We had a chance to do that earlier as we were singing songs. I think there's something special that's going to happen as we hear, as these folks teach and admonish us and actually share real examples of rhythms. And again, see if there's just one that you connect with. We're going to hear from people in different life stages. We got people from different continents. It's going to be really, really good. And I'm particularly excited about the first one because you're going to listen to my story real quick. So that's why I'm excited. You guys got to hear me. So let me share a couple things about rhythm, and then we'll get to a bunch of really good normal people that will share some stuff with you. But hey, if I'm honest with you, I spent a lot more of my life screwing rhythms up than getting it right. And it started off with me at a really young age. I grew up, I hated to nap, I hated to sleep. You know, if the phone rang, I was the guy running to it because I never wanted to miss anything. I felt like if I was resting, if I was sleeping, I was going to miss something. And that bad habit actually carried with me for a lot of years, carried into high school, carried into college. In my early 20s, I was working as an engineer for Honda. I worked in the quality department. I was dating somebody, and so my work time was taken up. My free time I'm spending with the person I'm dating, and then I was doing a little side business selling stuff online, so my schedule was filled up. And let me just say, if you don't look at this thing of rhythms, it will catch up with you. I want to tell you about when it caught up with me. So one day I'm at work, and we had an issue where some of the parts weren't fitting on the cars right. We had to go to one of our suppliers and pick up some pieces, and it was about a four-hour drive across the state. And about halfway on the drive, I had the company van, and I fell asleep at the wheel. And I'm fortunate that I'm able to even tell you about this. I'm lucky I didn't kill myself or somebody else. I remember waking up and the steering wheel's just, you know, doing one of these, and I'm shaking in the car, and I hit a road sign and plow through it. Remember hitting another road sign, set off the airbags. I had burns on my arm from the airbag. And I just remember realizing in that moment, like, something has to change. Something has to change. You cannot keep up with this pace. It just doesn't work. And so I've spent a lot of my life trying some different things, doing some different things, and I could share a lot of rhythms. I just want to share one of the most simple rhythms that helps keeps me sane, and I just think is a healthy, easy one for me. Every week, I simply do this. I try to play one game of ice hockey. I love ice hockey. I don't know if any other ice hockey fans. There aren't a lot of us, but I love playing ice hockey, and here's why. See, there's one other dude. That's great. That's awesome. So here's why I love ice hockey, though. When you play ice hockey, you expend a lot of energy. And there's just something about me being tired where after I take a shower afterwards, man, I am ready to hit the sack. It feels good. And I need to get rid of that energy so that I can actually be ready to rest. And the second benefit is that I'm a guy that likes to think a lot. And so the great thing about playing hockey, I'll tell you, I am not thinking about anything besides that dude that just hit me that I'm going to get back in just a minute. I'm totally going to cheap shot. No, I'm not going to cheap shot. Sometimes I'll cheap shot. It depends on how bad he got me. But that's what I'm thinking about, right? I'm not thinking about work. I'm not thinking about the stuff on my desk. I'm not thinking about the rough day I had with my family. I'm not thinking about any of that. I'm thinking about playing hockey. And there's just something that's beautiful about having a time to do that. The last thing I just love about the game of hockey, when you play and you finish your game, both teams line up on each side of the ice. They skate and they meet each other in the middle. And no matter how bad of a game you've had, no matter if you were the guy that did the cheap shot or if you were cheap shotted, man, you shake hands and you say good game. And for me, as I practice that discipline of honestly forgiveness or letting things go, I just find it sets me up to do that every time somebody cuts me off or somebody says something I don't like. It's a good way for me to practice that. And I think for all of us, man, what are the ways that we have to leave it on the ice? Well, hey, that's my rhythm that I wanted to share with you. And we've got seven awesome folks that are going to be sharing here. So would you give a warm welcome to our first person that's coming up, Amanda. Why don't you join us here?
Hey, guys. I'm Amanda Shepherd. I am a senior at Seven Hills High School. Are there any other high schoolers out there? Anybody? Yeah. Any other seniors? Did anybody just turn in their college deposit? Yeah, feels good, doesn't it? Anyway, all of you high schoolers know that we have no time. We are always busy. And so when I was asked to talk up here about rhythms in my life, I thought, what rhythms? I don't really have any rhythms, I thought. But, you know, I really wanted to talk up here, so I decided I'd give it a couple minutes of thought. And surprisingly enough, I came up with a few. So I'm just going to let you know about those. First one that I thought of was dinner with my family. Now you may stop me here and say, oh, Amanda, dinner with my family stopped being cool years ago. Well, let me share with you why I love it. First of all, it's a way to get away from school, to get away from the drama and the work that comes along with school, and just to sit and relax in a time devoted to me and my family. It's also been really important in building a relationship with my brother. My brother is 14, I'm 17, so nice age difference there, but he's my best friend. And I don't know about many other people who are best friends with their younger brother, and so I think that there's something really powerful that happens over the dinner table, and I believe that that's the reason that I can have this relationship with my brother. Another one that I have is a weekly rhythm, and it's coming to Crossroads every Sunday. So you guys, if you have that one, you can check that off. You've got a rhythm. But I'm up on the balcony almost every Sunday, and that's an incredible rhythm for me because it allows me to come into community with God. No matter what's happened throughout the week or throughout whatever's going on in my life, I know that I can come be in that balcony and know that God's going to meet me in that place. Third one that I have is an annual rhythm, and I go to camp every summer. Now you may stop me here again and say, oh, Amanda, camp stopped being cool about the time that eating dinner with my family stopped being cool. Okay, but let me tell you why camp is so great. Camp is a time where I can be away from reality. I can be away from the distractions of my normal life, and I can prepare for the year that's going to come. So I have that time where I can just focus on my life and focus on God and on the people in my life, and I can just get refreshed. And this summer, I'm lucky enough to be working as a camp counselor, and so I'm going to have the opportunity to reset for my first year of college. And that's just, it's a rhythm that I am intentional about and I prioritize, and I wouldn't give that up for the world. And so I'm not here to tell you, especially you high schoolers, that you need to add rhythms into your life. I know we don't have time for that. But I'm here to tell you that if you look, you're going to find some. And when you find them, you should hold on to them, and you should capitalize on them, and enjoy the fruit that comes from them. Thanks.
Hello, everybody. My name is Chris, and I am the recent winner of the Crossroads Straw Poll for the drummer with the best public speaking skills. So y'all get me. It's so awesome when we're thinking about this thing about rhythm, and especially as a drummer, I kind of sit there, I'm like, wow, this is like a core of my being. When I was little, I used to get in trouble for banging on the dashboard whenever there was music playing on the radio. So my parents figured, hey, let's get this kid's lesson so he can beat on something else and save us. And it's just kind of crazy, too, because even though rhythm does apply when you look at drumming, it also does apply, you know, in our lives. What I find as a young 20-something is that for different seasons in your life, there's got to be different rhythms, or you're not going to have much fruit. So as a single guy, kind of have a rhythm that looked like this. That rhythm consisted of work, come home, go to the gym, come home, couch time with the Xbox 360, watch the Reds, you know, go to bed, wake up, and it continued on. Then all of a sudden something happened, you know. I met someone, and let's say the rhythm had to change. And what I found that, oh, that rhythm I was playing before, it wasn't going to work this time around. So I had to change everything. So my daily routine, it kind of consists of a phone call, how was your day? And you know, you kind of sit there and it's like, oh, you don't feel well today? Is there anything I can do for you? It consists of a lot of I love you and I love you too. It also takes time where it's like, oh, you're moving and you need someone to help you move because no one else is? I got you. So it's crazy when you look at all that, and then, you know, as you continue on in a relationship and you get a rhythm going with that, then you turn, you're like, oh, this thing, a possibility of marriage. And that's a rhythm, unfortunately, I don't know how to play, so I'm not going to play it for you all. With all these different rhythms that I found, though, that I have to have in these different stages of my life, I have found some consistent rhythms that are really healthy for me. And the first one is, you guessed it, drumming. It's something where I'm able to just really connect with God. I can see like, wow, I have this ability to have rhythm. I could not have had the ability to have rhythm, so I'm going to apply it. And I apply it in all kinds of ways, volunteering here, playing out at gigs, teaching lessons, and just even practicing by myself. It's just a wonderful time where I can really just decompress and have a great time. The second one is I have a weekly group of guys that I meet, and we call it dude group. So I do have some of my dude time still, which is kind of nice. But what I found with this group is that I'm able to just receive some teaching. I'm able to teach. I'm able to be accountable to them. And actually, I got some in that group that are married, so hopefully I'll learn how to play that rhythm sometime soon. And lastly, one of my favorite things I do is I have a daily reflection time. And it's either in a conversation with my girlfriend or by myself or on the way home or a conversation with a friend where I just reflect on how did God show up today. It could be a little thing, it could be a big thing, but I think what I love so much about it is that it's opened my heart to just receive whatever he has for me. And it always keeps me recognizing where he's at in my life. And some of the fruit I've seen from it, the biggest one I think I'll share with you all is I recently had a rekindling of a relationship with my father, which was not good just ever really that I think about it. And so when I had this reconciliation come about, I was able to have an open heart to it. I think I could have sat there and been bitter. I could have been angry. But thankfully, you know, God was like, hey, I've been faithful in the little things, and so I'm being faithful in this right now. So I want you to really take it in. And so it's been an awesome blessing for me, and I hope it's been a blessing for you. Thank you for your time.
Hi. My name is Allie, and I am a mom. I'm a mom of four kids, actually, so we have a family of six, and these are my four kids. Why don't you meet them? Andrew, Luke, Zoe, and Hope. And this is a phase of life for us that is very full of a lot of day-to-day, make-it-happen, home and kid maintenance, and there's just a lot of it. And we would say as a family that exploring rhythms has brought us peace and purpose in greater measure as a family. When my husband Bill and I first started to explore this idea of rhythms about a year ago, the very first one that we just felt we had to put back in place in a really solid way was our own daily time with God. For me, this looks like 6 a.m. wake up every day but Sunday. I get up, and this is the time that I spend with God. My husband has his own rhythm of this, and we just take the time to connect. And we would say this is kind of the foundational rhythm, the rhythm from which all other rhythm flows for us. As we put this into place, we realize we need that rhythm as a couple, too. We need to come together somehow as a couple with God. So we now have a Sunday evening meeting after the kids go to bed. Sometimes we have a glass of wine, and we have our Sunday evening meeting, and we look at where are we as a family? What season are we in? What season is coming up? What do our weekly calendars look like? How can we be together, and what does God have for us as a family? So that's really our time to talk and pray about that as a couple. And that has been huge for us, because it's been during these times with God where we have started to understand better how He's putting us together as individuals and as a whole family unit. Essentially, He's telling us who He really is making us to be. And it's from that understanding that some of our other personal and family rhythms have started to kind of blossom. One of those, I'll just hit you with one example, is as a family, I believe that God has just put us together with a natural amount of strength and discipline and organization and capacity. We just are like that as a couple and as a family. And so the first rhythms that we felt that God was really urging us to put into place was about rest and play. Because when you put that type of family together in a season that we're in with a lot of day in and day out grind, it's kind of joyless. And we just ended up in a place where we needed some fun. So we've started two simple family rhythms that are weekly for us. One is a family fun night. We do family fun night every Wednesday. And most of the time we go out because we spend a lot of time at home. So this week we went out and we did putt-putt and we ate at Flip Daddy's. We're brave enough to take on the meal with four kids now. For a while we weren't, but it's almost always fun. And then Sunday we do a family Sabbath day where we stay together as a family, we hang out, sometimes we see friends, sometimes we stay in our PJs, but at the end of the day we have dinner together. And a lot of times we light candles just to make it special. The kids really love that. And we give each other communion. And it's a time for my husband and I to just reiterate on a weekly basis, who is Jesus? Why is He different? And why do we need to remember what He's done for us? And this has just been awesome for the kids to watch that understanding start to sink in. And it was the other day I got a little bit of encouragement along this line, and I want to share this picture with you. My five-year-old Luke brought this home from school, and he said, "Mommy, this is a picture of a big hill." And he said, "There is a secret passage. The circle is a secret passage that runs through the hill, but it's blocked off." And he said, "There's a password, though, and the good news is the password is love." And I got so choked up, and I just heard God in that, and I understood that as he understands who Jesus is, he's getting it. Somewhere deep down in there, he's understanding some of the things that, because of the rhythms that we're keeping as a family, they will bear fruit. And that's the thing for us. This rhythm making as a family is a very long process and act of faith that at some point in big ways this will bear fruit, and we're kind of throwing our lives on that. We are wrapping our rhythms around God as a home and as a family, and we have to trust that as we put that in order, that our family, our very Patterson family, will be used by God to move the kingdom into our community and into the world. And we're kind of betting on that.
Hi, my name is David, and I'm a designer. I have a smoking hot wife, which is why these three kids are even remotely cute. And if you asked me a year ago, I guess I would have said, I don't know, I think our family rhythm's okay. Right, it's good. And then we decided to open a small business. Now, here's a news flash, 11:45 service. Turns out, opening and running a small business is a lot of work. I mean, who knew, right? They could write that in a book or something. So all of a sudden, our time is just at a premium, and we were just quickly becoming exhausted. And so we just knew that we needed some kind of weekly rhythm where we were going to be able to find time together and have some rest. So here's what we did. We sat down and we said, what are the things that are important to us? And the first thing, it just starts with being together as a family. That's important. And so we kind of feel like quality time only happens if you have quantity time, right? So that's kind of a lens through which we try to make decisions. We kind of look at new activities, new sporting events, new extracurricular stuff, and just ask the question, like, is this going to give us more time together as a family, or is this going to give us less time? And if it's less time, that might not be something we do. One annual rhythm for us is doing Go Cincinnati. We do it as a family, and we love it. It's a great rhythm. It's a great rhythm. The next thing is fun and adventure. Fun and adventure are important to us. And the weekly rhythm that we set up to facilitate this is called a family game night. And the way that that looks in our house is it's pretty simple. First thing we did is we gave it a name, right? And we put a loose structure around this time. So for instance, on family game night, it's just the five of us, right? It's just the five of us. And this concept, you know, seeps in even to my three-year-old. She understands this. So if neighborhood kids come over wanting to play on family game night, she has literally answered the door before and said, we can't play with you. It's family night. So we're working on her hospitality. It's work in progress for that one. But the other thing is, it's super simple. It's cheap pizza, and after pizza, it's either a game or some sort of activity like bike riding or something. And the funny thing to me is, you know, we eat dinner together a lot. I mean, that's regular for us. But there's something about just giving this thing a name and a structure that allow my kids to just look forward to it. They just look forward to that night. They love it. So that's a good one. The last thing is rest, right? We have to find some rest because, like I said, we have a ton to do. And so for us right now, that looks like one day where we just kind of unplug and don't do work. We've talked about Sabbath. You know, I think the best way I've heard someone describe a Sabbath is, if someone were to give your family $50 and say, go do whatever sounds like fun for you, that's what a Sabbath should look like. And so that's what we try to make it. We try to make it fun, and it's usually refreshing and restful. So it's time together, it is fun and adventure, and it's refreshing rest. It's kind of those three things that we're playing with. And, you know, I just have to tell you, in the implementation of this stuff, we are starting to see a lot of joy and peace come out of it. And I would just say for you guys, if there's anything in what I've said that strikes you as something that maybe you could implement, I would encourage you to do it because it does bear a lot of fruit. I don't know. It's good. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Good afternoon. I'm Smita. I'm here from Calcutta. I lead two aftercare homes in Calcutta, Mahima Homes, that you help support. We've had 57 girls come through these homes in the last 3 years, and many married, in work, doing very well, and I'm really, really very proud of my girls. So just to go back a little bit, as Terry mentioned earlier, that when we were talking about Mala, that it took us 8 times to actually go and come back disappointed, not finding her, until we did on the 8th time. So our work kind of starts off from a place where there is huge disappointments, there are areas of darkness. When we bring these girls out, listening to their stories, helping them to process that and come to a point of healing, it's difficult. It's exhausting. We open ourselves up to a lot of vicarious trauma. And it would not have been possible for me to continue this for the last 9 years that I have if I did not have rhythms in my life. And this is something that I learned really early on. Because to me, when we were discussing rhythms, it's almost like a pendulum movement, is that there are times when I need to be really close to the girl, really understanding where she is speaking from, what she's gone through with that. But then in order to be effective, in order to really bring healing into her life, I need to step back. I need to move back to a place where I can get recharged, where I can feel that, you know, get myself filled by the Holy Spirit and be know that I am led according to His will to do what He has to do. And of course, rest is a huge thing. So there are three things basically that work for me. First is that I have a quiet time every day in the morning for 30 minutes. And that is on a very crowded subway train that I take to work. But that is the time that I get where I can just find a corner to sit in and put my headphones on, have a small reading to meditate on, just close my eyes and center on the Lord, and just open myself for His guidance, because I know the day ahead is going to be hard. But I just know that He is going to recharge me. It's like my plug is on, and I'm getting recharged in those 30 minutes. The second thing we do as a team, because my staff are exposed to it on a daily basis, is that every Friday we have a time of corporate prayer, where not only we prayed about the needs that we have for the girls or for the home, but also time to just thank the Lord for allowing us to be part of this process of transformation, for allowing us to see the changes that happen in these girls' lives and to really rejoice with them and to just be encouraged by the, you know, absolutely beautiful ways that we see that God actually works. And as Dawn mentioned, that He's there and He's doing it on a daily basis and we get to see it, and that's really huge. And finally, of course, my rest is that I use up all my vacation days. I don't have any left at the end of the year. But I'll just take a minute to share a little bit more about rhythms and why it's important also in the lives of these girls who come to us. These girls have been in slavery. They've never had any kind of choice. What they wanted to do was never accepted. There was no rhythm. Their life was just chaos. Their times are all the opposite side. They sleep all day. They are up all night. So when they come into the home and we need to get them onto the road of healing, the first thing we need to do is get them to learn that there are rhythms in their life that they need to get in place. And that is a time for, you know, sleep, a time for waking, a time for play, a time for work. And they resist that initially because they're not used to it. It's hard. It's difficult to do. It needs discipline. But with time, when that does happen, that's really when they really start their process of healing and we see really beautiful things coming out in their lives. So, I just want to encourage you to continue to look within, to look in your families and see what are the rhythms that you find, because ultimately that's where I think we get our strength from. That's where we feel encouraged. That's where we feel that, yeah, I want to wake up tomorrow morning. There's so much to do and there's so much that God has in plan for me. So all the best and thank you so much for having me speak to you.
Hey there. Anybody run the marathon this morning? Any marathoners in here? All right. Full marathon and still come to... I think the winner came to the 8:30, but... Not saying you're slow, just... I'm just kidding. Kidding about all that. My name's Peter Zimmer. For those of you who are confusing me with Chuck Mingo, I'm not Chuck. All this talk of running and hip-hop... I'm not a different person. I am married, been married about 2.5 years now, and have a beautiful baby girl that's on the way in about 2 months that we're very excited about. 2 months or 8 weeks, like I don't know what units I'm supposed to be using at this point. It's all very confusing and new. I'm also a realtor, and so rhythms are very difficult for me because of my schedule. So I kind of have that traditional, sporadic, on-call kind of by nature, inconsistent, busy schedule. And by busy, what I mean is, for example, last year, just in showings, just showing houses, I think I showed 641 houses last year, which is a stupid amount of houses. So very difficult to institute rhythms. So my wife and I started kind of talking through, like, how can we institute this? What can we do? Specifically around this idea of a Sabbath. It was very difficult for me, very challenging, to just take a day off. I want to be successful just like anybody else, and for me that means being available. And so, like the road to success is more work than it is rest. Like, it just didn't make sense to me. I need to be available. I need to be kind of Johnny on the spot for to be successful. I would rather have money than not have money, if I'm allowed to say that. And so it kind of bubbled up in me, this kind of challenge of my faith, this challenge of belief. This idea of rest sounds nice, but do I really believe that that's what I was created for? Like, do I really believe that by God's design, the work that I produce is best as a product of the rest that He gives me? So to prioritize rest and work from that, or by design, am I supposed to just rest as a result of work, 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 striving, 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 and then crashing? And I'd experienced that. So I was interested in that, but did I really believe it? Because if I believed it, my actions would kind of follow suit. I could say that I believed it all day long, but if my actions don't back it up, then I'm just kind of lying to myself. So we kind of practiced. It was about a six-month period. We're slow learners where we just, you know, it would be like, what day of the week is it going to be? Is it going to be the same day of the week? Is it going to be half of, you know, one day, half of another day? All kind of excuses for me to still kind of be available, to still prioritize work over prioritizing rest. And so we finally landed on, okay, we're going to do this every week on Sunday, because that's a slow day in real estate. It's horrible. So we've been doing this as a way to prioritize rest, and let me just tell you, it's been awesome. Like, the fruit that has come from it has surprised me. Like, last year in real estate, it was the best year I ever had. It was record. It was awesome. But it was me working my butt off, striving, 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 work, work, work. This year, starting to prioritize rest, starting to work from a place of rest, prioritizing that Sabbath, it's actually, like, looking to beat last year, which is amazing to me. Like, I don't really understand that. I can't explain it other than it feels like I'm operating in how God designed me to be. So kind of Terry was talking about prioritizing that rest so I can punch my clients in the face. Just thought of that. It was funny. And so if you're out there and you're like, hey, that sounds great on paper, like you're just going after it in life, I just want to encourage you that there's fruit on the other side that you only experience by kind of dipping your toe in, and not just as a way to do better in business. Like, I'm actually more impressed with the fruit that I'm seeing in my relationship with my wife, of just having that day where we carve it out. I have an away message on my email. I establish with clients that, hey, I'm not working today, and we just have fun. Like, we just will rest. Sometimes it's not doing anything. Sometimes it's being active. It sounds like there's an open invitation from David to anybody who wants to try a Sabbath, he'll give you $50. So just see him for that. But it's been really good. So I just want to encourage you to the best that I can, and it's just a testimony of that there's fruit in it. So thanks.
I have had have help getting up those steps for every service I've done. And I didn't even come in here to practice last week, and I still couldn't do it. I think it was because of my back surgery and some of the years I put on my life. But I wanted to tell you that it's great to be at 11:45. My service, by the way, I always come at this one. This is the one where you get a little extra. And it's very true, too. I've been coming to Crossroads for 17 years. which is, thank you, about 2 years before it actually started. And before he came here, Brian was on staff with me at a church in Pittsburgh. And we had great times together there. But when he was up here building the groundwork for the church you're now sitting in, it was a lot of work that needed some help from people. He needed volunteers. So he called me and he said, Roger, I have something I want you to consider. Now, when Brian talks like that, you know what's coming. It's going to be a big ask. I said, go ahead, make it. He said, you remember when you and your wife, Sally, created that seminar on showing people what their spiritual gifts were and then how to translate that into going into ministry, being a volunteer, working for the church, helping out there? And I said, yeah, it's going well, too. He said, well, I want you to come up here and do it for us. I want you to do it on a steady basis. And I guess that's where my first rhythm started, because we came up once a quarter, quarter after quarter, doing this seminar. And finally, I said to my wife, why are we doing this? We have family in Cincinnati. Brian and Libby live here. We have grandchildren who are here. And so I said, why don't we move? Just move there? She said, let's do it. And we made a decision faster than I ever thought we would. As a matter of fact, when Peter was speaking, I was shocked at how quickly we sold the house to make it up here. But the decision has been one of the best we have ever made. Crossroads has changed my life and has improved it immensely. One of the ways that I have a rhythm on a daily basis, because I am retired and an empty nester, so I take full advantage of the ability that gives me to control time. And so over coffee, every morning, I am with my wife having devotions, praying. She is on the intercessory prayer team that prays with people after church, so she's learned how to communicate with God well, has taught me a lot. It's been one of the advantages of that rhythm for me. Another thing that I have done is to get into a small group as quickly as I could. I learned about small groups years ago when it was not very common in churches, when you just didn't do the thing like that. But when I first heard about the concept, I thought, this is a fantastic way to grow a church, to help make a big church smaller, as we're doing it here. And if you're not in a group, you need to be in one. Because in my opinion, it's one of the best ways to grow spiritually at a fairly rapid rate. It's one of the places where you can build faith quickly. It's one of the places where you can participate, give your opinion, and have your thoughts listened to. And by the way, when you're in a small group, the Holy Spirit works through the minds of the people who are in that group. So it makes it a very special event. And it's a rhythm that I have done ever since I heard about them. I've been in one or I've led one. Now, I have three children and nine grandchildren. And being with them is one of the rhythms in my life that's very important to me. Because it's my opinion that a grandparent has the responsibility of building into those grandchildren as much as possible. So I do that by going to them or writing to them. And last year, I had them all under one roof here at Christmas time. And it was the most joyous time I ever have spent at Christmas, because I would pass them each one every now and then during that week, and whenever I did, I'd kiss them, or give them a hug. And I didn't hug because I wanted to raise the oxytocin levels in their body. I did it because when you are giving a genuine hug, it says two things: I love you, and I am here for you. And it just was a rhythm that I have started since they were young, and it's been one of the best in my life. Finally, I have had a rhythm that has been very important to me with my sons. I have two of them, and I count Brian as a son. Even though he's a son-in-law, he's more of a son than that to me. And when we camp together and are together at night around that campfire, it gives all of the men a chance to express the challenges that they're facing in their life, some of the needs that they have, where they have fears, where they have a need for encouragement. There's nothing like giving the gift of encouragement, and that's a great place to do it. But after so many years of doing this, the stress of business got to them, and the challenges that are in leading a church as big as Crossroads is for Brian, we had to stop them. But since I'm getting close to the end of life, I would wish for one more thing, and that is one more camping trip with my sons. Now, you can pray about that. when this series first started, I read that sign, as many of you did coming into church, and I said, as often some people do, well, what's in this for me? But when I got to thinking about rhythms in my life and what they meant, doing a positive thing over and over again and making it change how you live life, I said, this is the place where you get new ideas. No place that I know of in a church where they have the ideas that you can really put to use just Sunday after Sunday. Crossroads is a place where you can learn every week you come here. And I consider it a pleasure to be with you here this morning. Thank you.
Guys, let's give that whole team one more big hand for giving up their weekend. Yes. That was five services of good, good stuff. And I would just encourage and challenge you at the same time, what's that one takeaway for you? What's that one takeaway? What's that one rhythm that you want to pour into coming out of this? And man, one of the simple ones for me, as I just heard David talking, I was like, gosh, what a no-brainer of taking some of my family time and being incredibly more intentional about naming it and having some healthy structure around it. Gosh, I am going to follow through on that. And I feel like there's just a clear through line for all of us. I'm going to bite the band out as we get ready to close here. But I feel like there's a clear through line of all of these folks were incredibly intentional with their rhythms. They're practicing intentionality. That whether it was the time they got up, whether it was the people that they were spending time with, whether it was intentionally spending time away from work and putting an out-of-office email message on, all those things took intentionality. I think that's beautiful. And I want to encourage you before we go with this scripture. It's Romans 12:2. It says this. It says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's why we do rhythms. God created this rhythm. He wants you to test and see his perfect, pleasing will. He wants you to experience his goodness as you're doing these things of rhythms. And it says you can't do that by conforming to the patterns and just going along and adding more to your life. But renew your patterns, renew your mind, have this rhythm thing, embrace it. And I hope that we'll be a community that follows through and does that. And I hope that you'll follow through on that one thing. I want to pray for us now. God, I thank you for this gift. God, thank you for the way that you've spoken uniquely to all of this group that gave their weekend to be here and give us examples. And God, I thank you that you do that to all of us. God, I just pray for courage and boldness to follow through on that one thing. And God, I pray that you would meet us right in the middle of that. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.